Welcome to Frequency Matters, the RF Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. In this episode, I thought I'd give you a preview of our November and December issues. Our November issue is themed for 5G and IoT, which are always very hot topics.
Right.
Very interesting cover story about a millimeter wave antenna system for mobile devices for 5G. Currently, you can only get the 5G millimeter wave modules with patch antennas integrated into the module. And this lowers the loss, but it's not very good on the gain side. So this system will be an external antenna system that can fit into the mobile devices and connect to any millimeter wave module, but give you good gain. So
wow.
It'll be interesting to see how these are integrated into future 5G mobile devices.
Yeah.
So we also have a 3.5 gigahertz beam steering antenna using MEMS switches for the differential phase control, and that's from Menlo Micro. And we also have how 5G is enabling Industry 4.0 and the design considerations on the testing side by Keysight Technologies. So what do we have in store for a December issue?
Well, December, the theme is government and military electronics, but since our European Microwave Week conference moved from the fall to January, we've added emphasis on that as well in the issue. So actually the cover feature is written by Helen Duncan, and she talks about the RF microwave activity that's taking place in the Benelux region, and quite a bit when you look at industry as well as some of the government-funded R&D. And then we have a special report covering the activities of the European Microwave Week conference. Then back on government and military electronics, we have from Apiris Systems an interesting article on the development of solid-state technology, particularly the power output capability that's really enabling EMP-type systems, electromagnetic pulse. And then Keysight has submitted an article on how AI and machine learning are really changing the EW landscape. So a good mix of articles there.
A lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah.
So we had a special guest join us today, Stephen Pong, who's the RF product manager for passive components at Pasternak. And he joined us to discuss how those are enabling new design challenges for people. And it's very, very interesting to notice that passive devices really are evolving with new materials and
right.
new configurations. So let's take a look at a clip from that now.
So how are designers using these coupler products, and what would you say distinguishes them from similar products in the market?
So these hybrid couplers have excellent return loss, isolation, and phase balance performances. One common application for 90-degree hybrid couplers is for impedance matching of RF devices. For example, one of the input ports is terminated, and any reflection from the mismatches at the output ports will flow to the terminated port. And this is why hybrid couplers are so widely used to split high power signals in applications where unwanted reflections could easily damage the driver device. And this is a unique property that makes it very useful for balanced amplifier design. Another common use for hybrid couplers is to split signals in phase array intended for beamforming in applications such as satellite communication or high-speed cellular networks.
So it was very good to talk with Stephen about the developments in the RF passive market. And so turning to the news, the semiconductor train is rolling again for consolidation.
Yeah.
We see that AMD is going to acquire Xilinx for $35 billion in a stock deal. It's one of the largest semiconductor acquisitions ever. And I think they're just trying to keep up with Intel, who acquired Altera many years ago. But it also puts them into the RF market because Xilinx has the RF system-on-chip platform called Zynq. Funny enough, they did announce the day before that they had released their latest in the Zynq platform, and it's optimized for 5G. So it's very interesting. They hardened some of the functions within the chip, and they greatly reduced the power consumption by almost 50%, and it's also much lower cost. So it's a really good fit for 5G applications.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to see. I think that's going to be a really good product. So how about you on the news side?
Well, on the news, the iPhone 12 is out. And it has supposedly 3 millimeter wave modules in it. I didn't open this up to check, but here on the side and then front and back. And the interesting thing, while Qualcomm does the modem, it's actually a company called USI that provides these millimeter wave modules. And the report is that Qualcomm's millimeter wave antenna module was too thick for the size of the iPhone. So I thought that was really interesting. And then on the broadband front, Starlink is actually starting beta testing of their low Earth orbit satellite system. So for $99 a month and a $500 starter package, so that includes the antenna, a tripod to mount the antenna, and a Wi-Fi router, you can test out their system. And I thought it was interesting, there is a school district called the Ector County School District. It's near Odessa, Texas, way deep in the heart of Texas. And they're doing a trial for 45 families who otherwise wouldn't have internet access with remote learning. And so they're going to be connecting to Starlink and see how it works. And if it's successful, they say they're going to add another 90 families to that trial. So this is really cool. And then the other thing I'm noticing is that there's a lot of activity with LTE fixed wireless access. T-Mobile is making a big push in this area. They claim that their coverage is 20 million households, and that's like 10x. What Verizon and AT&T are offering. So I think the time of broadband, at least better broadband, is upon us.
So turning to events, we've seen a lot of activity in the Open RAN area. There's a lot of pros and cons to the technology as it is worked out. So we thought we'd organize a virtual panel on this because ABI Research is estimating that that market for the radio units could be as much as $50 billion by 2026. And we've seen a lot of news lately with ADI and NEC collaborating to deliver 5G massive MIMO radios to the Rakuten network. And we also saw Ericsson release their latest virtual cloud RAN. And that's O-RAN compliant at the interface level. So we're going to get together some experts. We have Joe Madden from Mobile Experts moderating. And we have Keysight Technologies and Qualcomm so far on the panel.
That's great.
That's December 9th. And I like this virtual panel concept, so we're going to continue that. And in January 21st, we will have one on the evolution of the RF front end. So we hope to get together some of the semiconductor companies to discuss how it's really evolved to a very complicated module now and how they'll be meeting that 5G challenge in the filtering area, the switching area, and amplification. What are some of the new semiconductor technologies and design techniques being used to meet those challenges?
And then just as we're starting to recover from EDICon online, we have the Microwave Journal Power Amplifier Design Forum coming up on Tuesday, November 17th. So we want to encourage you to check that out. We have six highly regarded speakers covering everything from modeling to design techniques, including Dr. Steve Cripps. And we're very fortunate that Cadence is sponsoring this event, so we appreciate that. So you can find more information about it, and you can register at the Microwave Journal website. Just check on events and then webinars. And I think that's a wrap for this episode. We want to thank our sponsors, Pasternak, a wide-ranging supplier of RF and microwave components, serving customers in more than 35 countries, and Wireless Telecom Group. They're the parent of a family of test and measurement companies, RF microwave components, and RF subsystems for wireless infrastructure. So names like Booten, Holsworth, Noisecom, Comagility, and Microlab. Thanks for watching and stay safe out there.